Okay, before we move on to a newer piece of Gemara, which will probably really start in earnest on Monday, I'm just spend a little bit of time discussing the Talmud Torah issue that we left off with yesterday, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. But there's another Rambam in Hilchos Ishos. I know I didn't specifically ask everyone to prepare it, so I'll read the Rambam and tell me what you think, okay? It's the Rambam in Perek Tesvav, Halacha Beis. If you have a Rambam handy, Zach, you want to follow along, it's the Rambam in Ishos, that's Sefer Noshim, Hilchos Ishos, Perek Tesvav.
Okay.
So it's Tesvav Beis. Someone want to give it a try? Chaim, you want to give it a whirl?
No, I don't have it.
Yeah, okay. Nashim. You have not. Anyone else have Nashim handy? No. Okay. So I'll read. You could follow along. The Rambam writes the following. Before we get to that sheet, this is just the basis for the discussion. The Rambam says, "Ha'ish mitzuva al piri v'rivya avalo ha'isha." I'm reading from the Rambam now in Dr. J. I'm just reading from the Rambam for a second.
Right.
If you want, you can follow along. The Rambam says that a man is commanded with regard to the mitzvah puruvu, that is the mitzvah to procreate, that is a man's mitzvah, of aloha isha. It's not, strictly speaking, the mitzvah of a woman. Obviously, a man can't perform the mitzvah without a woman, but strictly speaking, the chiyuv, the obligation, is not upon the woman. That's a whole separate discussion in Maseches Kiddushin, and the Rishonim there, but that's not our issue today. But it is interesting to know that there's a major discussion in the Rishonim as to what the role of the woman is in the mitzvah of Peru. Is she Mesayeh for the man? Does she have some mitzvah on her own, some kind of kiyum of her own? Well, we're going to leave that for the moment. Ve'eim asaya ish neschayiv b'mitzvah zu, mi ben shvasrei. When is a man become commanded in this mitzvah? As of the age of 17. The kevin sha'ovru esrim shana, and when he's already 20, v'lo nasa isha, hareza over mevatel mitzvah saseh. If a person reached the age of 20, any 20-year-olds here? Reached the age of 20, and you haven't yet married, the Rambam says that you've been mevatel mitzvah.
That's what the Gemara says.
Yeah, the Rambam doesn't make this up. It's from the Gemara in Kiddushin. V'mhaya osek b'torah, but let's say you're someplace between 17 and 20, or even beyond 20, and you're osek b'torah. You're involved in the mitzvah of learning. V'torah ba. And not only you osek, you're engrossed, you're torah. V'haya misyare milisa isha. And now you're misyare, what does misyare mean?
Afraid.
You're fearful. You're fearful, you're afraid of marrying a woman, of getting married. Kadesh lo yitrach b'mezonos ba'avor ishto. What's going to happen? You're going to get involved in the needs of a household. You're going to have to pay bills. You're going to have to be matriach to provide instead of just for yourself. Maybe for yourself, you're willing to, to scrape by. You could. It used to be in yeshivas in Europe. They would live what was called
tag
or kest, right? So it's kest. I guess was after. Kest was after
kest
tag.
Is different, yeah.
Yeah. Essen often tag. What do they call it?
Essen tag.
Tag basically means day. So the way
days,
the yeshiva tag is the day, right? Tag.
No, it's plural. Days.
Days.
Tag
is and tag. So each day of the week they were spoken for. Monday you would eat by so-and-so, Tuesday you would eat by so-and-so, Wednesday you would eat, that was the way it worked. On Shabbos, also in many places they would eat. My wife's grandfather lived in Poland, and he tells me that they had a bacher that would come to them every Shabbos, and that was their Shabbos bacher. So that was the way yeshiva bacher made. They didn't have a dormitory with a dining room. The community would support the people that were learning. So guys who were single, he said, okay, I could do that. I could get by with other people's help. Once he gets married, it's not gonna cut it. He's not gonna go with his wife. That's not the way it works. Once you're home, now you gotta You know, you got to bring home the I don't say bring home the bacon, but you want to bring home the mizonos. You want to bring home the mizonos. Right? What's going to happen if you have to do that? Of necessity, if you do that, yivatel min haTorah. Now you're not going to have to learn as much. Right? If I have to start diversifying my time, start spending some of my time with mizonos, I'm not going to be able to spend that time learning. So the Rambam says, in that case, harizeh mutal l'sacher. You could push off this mitzvah of getting married. Push off the mitzvah of peruvu. Why? And this is key for our purposes. Sha'osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Because the person who's learning, the person who's involved in a mitzvah is patur from another mitzvah. Osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. The kol shekein b'talmud Torah. And certainly when you're involved in Talmud Torah. I'll read the last line again. Okay? I'm going to read the last line again. Why is this permissible? Why is it hareza mutar l'sacher? Oh, sheha'osek b'mitzvah, because an osek in a mitzvah is potter from other mitzvahs, potter min ha-mitzvah. V'kol shekein b'talmud Torah. And certainly if you're involved in Talmud Torah. Sam, you're making a face.
It's a contradiction in the Rambam.
It's a problem, right? What's the problem?
He said in the other place that you can leave Talmud Torah if you go do another mitzvah and then return to it.
You could? You have to. So it sounds like you have to, right? Mm-hmm. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and some guys weren't here yesterday, so we'll just try to key you in. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and you want to read it? You weren't here yesterday, were you?
No.
No, so no time like the present. Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet, Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah certainly says something that seems to be a contradiction.
Very different translator.
Well, yeah, I'll help you, sure.
Dalet, right?
Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet.
Asiyas mitzvah of the Talmud Torah.
Stop. Person has Lefanov. What do you mean, Lefanov?
Right.
Before him, he's presented with a mitzvah to do and learning.
But it doesn't say there he's osek in learning. It just says that he's presented.
Well, you keep going. You'll see. You know, the Rambam makes it clear that he's actually already learning. Okay.
Eshar lo mitzvah le'asus
al yidei
acherim lo yisik.
Good. So he has this mitzvah. If the mitzvah is one that can be done al yidei acherim, what does that mean?
By someone else.
If it's done by someone else, then what? Should not stop his learning. Should not stop his learning. The Rambam specifically says, you were talking about before, what's the better thing to do, right? For a person's shleimus, for a person's perfection, what should he do? What's the ideal thing to do? The Rambam says, you should stay with your learning. Look out the window, you see a mitzvah opportunity, but you see five other guys standing around. The Rambam says, okay, stay with your learning. Why should you jeopardize your learning for that mitzvah? But, the imlo what? If it's not the type of mitzvah which is efshar lehayasa sayyidei acherim, then, that's a comma. Then what? Comma.
Oh, okay.
Yaaseh. He'll do the mitzvah.
The Yachzor. The Talmud.
What did you have yesterday? Zach, what gears did you have there? Limudo?
Taraso?
Talmudo. Who had someone else? Taraso? Kapach? You had the Kapach Rambam yesterday? Okay, so we have different gears here, but either way, the idea is the same. So Sammy says this is a problem, right? Problem is that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says, if you're learning and you're presented with another mitzvah, it depends. Can the mitzvah be done by someone else? If yes, then keep on learning. If no, stop, do the mitzvah, return to your learning.
What was the context in the first Rambam unit?
In Hilchos Ishus?
Yes.
Mitzvah Puruvu.
Right. So
it's proper, the Rambam says it's proper to get married at 17. proper to get married at 17, and by 20 you must be married. But if you're learning and you want to push off because you're afraid that by getting married you're going to have obligations, then you could do that. You could push it off. Why? Oh, you could push it off because we have a rule. Osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. And certainly when learning's at stake.
Right, but in that case,
what do you mean?
He's not necessarily osek b'mitzvah yet.
What do you mean? He's learning. He's in yeshiva. He's learning.
Right, but he's not. It could come of, like, the learning plan. The mitzvah is there now, but he doesn't necessarily need to do it at that moment.
Which are you answering the question?
I don't know what I'm
doing. I want to make sure I understand the question first. I want to make sure I understand the question first. You got the question?
What was the second?
Okay, before we ask other questions, I want to make sure I understand.
What was the second reading?
The second Rambam?
Yeah.
The Rambam in Isha says you could push off the mitzvah of getting married for the sake of learning. Why? Because we have a rule. Osek mitzvah, potom mitzvah, and then the Rambam throws in, and kol shekein when it comes to Talmud Torah. Certainly when you're involved in Talmud Torah, then the other mitzvah gets pushed aside. Or can be pushed aside. Then the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says, no, if you're learning and the mitzvah can be done by someone else, then fine, you have to stay learning. But if the mitzvah can't be done by someone else, you have to stop your learning and then go do the mitzvah and come back. Okay, so yesterday we tried to raise the question of why learning seems to be different in that it doesn't seem to follow the normal rule of osik mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Now the question is perhaps even furthered by this second Rambam, where the Rambam says, no, in some way, learning is subject to the rule of osik mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. Right? So yesterday we tried to set out to explain how Talmud Torah was different, and maybe in so doing to explain the Rambam. Now I think we have an added challenge to try to explain the apparent contradiction of the Rambam. So before we take suggestions, you had a question you want to clarify?
I
answered your question? Okay.
Oh, from before you.
I don't mean from way before, I mean the last couple of minutes you said another question.
Yeah, I understand how he views the mitzvah. I mean, we said this yesterday, but I understand how he views the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Oh, okay, good. That's what we have to deal with.
Is he saying that mitzvah is constantly on you every minute of the day?
He's not saying anything about it, but you're saying, is that what's at play here? Is that what's motivating him?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I understand what he's...
Well, that's what we're saying. We're asking. We're asking the same question you're asking.
Yeah, so
suggestion?
Yeah, maybe because...
Is everyone clear on this up to this point? Everyone's clear? Adam, you clear?
I think so. When you have, like, if it is all day, then it's like when you're not staying poor, like you have to get married, like... I'm assuming he's at implied.
No, in the case of learning, he's talking about a guy who's now, he's no, it doesn't mean if there's 1 minute we're not learning now. So you could push off the mitzvah of getting married for some period of time until you...
In a general sense.
Yeah, in a general sense, right. It doesn't mean every moment now it's lingering over your head. Okay, you stop learning for a second, now you have to get married. Right. You have to go on a date now because you finished your second Seder. No, it doesn't mean that. It means the guy says, you know what, I want to spend another 2 years in yeshiva. It's like a guy finishes his undergraduate work and he comes and says, I want to spend a few years learning in yeshiva before I go on to my next pursuit. So maybe he should be getting married now, but he says, you know what, I want to learn. If I get married now, I'm not going to be able to learn. So that's what he means, that type of situation. Yes, Daniel.
So maybe the contradiction that you're learning, like you don't have to get married.
Right.
Is an exception to the rule that
right? He's, I think at the end, right?
So therefore what? Acher.
Right. So as in there's no way that he's saying that the mitzvah of learning trumps the it just you can just set it off.
Okay, good. So Chaim's pointing out that it's important. Well. We still have to
I'm not giving an answer.
No, you're making an important what we call a ha'ara. You're making an observation, an important observation. And the observation is that the Rambam, in the case of the Ishos, right? In the case of the Ishos, doesn't say what? Doesn't say, well, if you want to learn, then you could pass off the mitzvah of getting married. He says it's lehis acher. What does lehis acher mean? To delay. to delay.
As opposed to the other examples which we've used so far, which were getting not doing, not completing
good.
The mitzvah.
So this is Chaim is making a very important observation, saying in many, many cases, when you apply the principle of osig mitzvah, patar mitzvah, you're saying a mitzvah is going to be totally negated, right? Totally batal, as far as you're concerned. Here, the Rambam's not giving you license to do that. The Rambam's not saying you want to learn the rest of your life, you could learn and never get married, although there's one exception to that as well. Anyone know?
The guy who says, I never got married because it would have interfered, because I loved learning so much.
Right, the Rambam says, and also Gimel, you have a rare exception. Misha chashka nafsha b'tora. Person is so... he's like addicted. His chashka nafsha b'tora, his soul is constantly seeking Torah. Tamid v'shone ba ki ben azai, like a ben azai type of individual. V'davik ba kol yomav, he's constantly, 24/7, he's learning. V'lo nasa isha ein biyado avam. If you're on that level, where you're totally consumed by learning, and to get married would be a distraction from your learning. And again, we're not talking about the average person, and you're not talking about really people in this generation, for the most part. Then it's not at all not to get married. However, the Rambam says, you know what? You got to be honest with yourself. V'hu shelo yeh yitzor miskabar lov. You can't constantly be in a state of frustration. Man is still wired a certain way. So even if a person is a big Talmud Chacham and he's Chashka Nafsha B'Torah, but he's still going to constantly be drawn by Taiva, that's not the proper situation to put yourself in. Then you have to get married. Okay? But those are exceptional cases where you have a Ben Azai. So Sammy, what do you want to say? See, the wheels are turning over there. Right, so that was one approach that we had. One approach that we had really was that stopping to do mitzvos, I mean, that doesn't speak to the Rambams, really, but one approach we had was that stopping to do mitzvos is not really stopping learning. That's really, learning is in order that you do the mitzvos. So therefore, we don't view it as a cessation in the learning. Right? That the whole purpose of the learning is to do the mitzvos in order to be able to la'asos, right? You're supposed to be lomed in order to la'asos, learn in order to know what to do. So now, the learning and the doing are really part of one greater whole. Maybe that's why Talmud Torah is different. And we saw the Birkei Yosef make such an observation, and others who want to say that the Iker is the Maaseh. So therefore, even within the context of learning, my learning demands that I stop to do the other mitzvah, if it can't be done by someone else. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I don't know if I would say exactly that.
Okay.
I think the learning itself has some, value to
it. Of course. I'm not saying there's no learning to there's no value to learning. We're talking about in terms of the overall goal of the learning, it's not that it's secondary to the mitzvahs. Right? The mitzvahs are an actual extension of the learning. Person is learning in order to be able to know how to act. That's not to say that there's no value in learning when it's not lamaisa. I wasn't suggesting that. Is that what? Is that you?
I thought that.
No. You wouldn't hear me say that. But the overall goal of one's learning is always in order to make himself a better Oved Hashem. Now you're presented with an opportunity to be Oved the Borei Olam, and you say, no, I'm busy learning about being Oved the Borei Olam. So that sounds bizarre. It can't be that way. So learning is different in that sense. But that just now begs the question, what about this parent stira in the Rambam? Right? You're right, you're saying something that's different about the nature of Talmud Torah. How does Osik Mitzvah Patamin or Mitzvah work? Forget about the Ran, Tosos, Machlokas, and the details. But how does it work? I'm osik in a mitzvah. I'm putter in what mitzvah? Which mitzvah am I putter in?
The second one that comes along.
Okay, mitzvah comes along. What do you mean by that?
Putter in another asay mitzvah.
Okay, I'm not putter from los asays. That's for sure. But what type of asay am I putter from?
Like
yeah. What do you mean?
Like Shema.
And I'm not asking for examples, but I'm saying what's the nature of that other mitzvah that I'm pater from?
Cannot be accomplished by someone else.
Okay, before we get to that.
Be positive timeout.
Why? Why? What? What does that mean?
It interferes with your doing the first mitzvah properly.
What's my definition now? How does halacha look at me? Right now, I'm defined as what?
You're active.
I'm an osek. I'm an osek. I'm a guy who's busy, right? Occupied. Put up a sign. Occupied. Busy. So therefore, what? Therefore, anything else that comes at this time, well, you can't expect me to do it. You can't ask me to do it because I'm busy. I'm an osek, right? I am an osek. Therefore, I am pater. Osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. I'm osek, therefore my time is spoken for as long as it takes me to finish this mitzvah. Nothing else exists as far as I'm concerned. Yes?
Yes.
Osek mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. So why should Talmud Torah be different? Why should Talmud Torah be different? We don't see in the Rambam that if you're doing one mitzvah, whatever it is, doing one mitzvah, I'm doing Bikur Cholim. I'm doing Bikur Cholim and another mitzvah comes along. We don't say, well, you're doing Bikur Cholim, but if the other mitzvah can't be done by someone else, you have to stop the Bikur Cholim. It's Eif Shalah Esos HaYidei Acherim. What do we say about that mitzvah? Too bad, so sad, the mitzvah's not going to get done. Right? And no one's going to demand of me that I do that mitzvah. Why? Because I'm an Osei. I'm defined as being busy right now. Halacha is expecting me to do this mitzvah. I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm Osuk. Therefore, that's it. I'm Pater from the other mitzvah. Yeah. Zach.
If hypothetically it was that way for Talmud Torah, and you wouldn't be able to, you know, you're busy with Talmud Torah, you'd be busy for forever. There'd be no, you know, you wouldn't, because I think I said this yesterday, but like there's no completion to it. So if you were learning, then when would you ever stop? If there's another mitzvah presented to you, then
okay,
you'd never.
Okay, good. I think that's important. I think that's an important idea. This is some reverb. Yeah. No, it's okay.
It's on
his side? Probably on his side. Yeah, inferior equipment. You're not saying strictly practically, right? You're saying more halachically?
Yeah.
I mean, what you're saying is true, practically. As if you tell a guy that you put the for mitzvahs, calls man that you're learning, so you say, how are you ever going to have a system where a guy could do mitzvahs? He's always going to be learning, right?
Yeah.
Ain't l'davar sof, you're always going to be learning, you're always going to be put the for mitzvahs.
By Bikur Cholim or whatever, it's still there's a time when you like stop doing the action and then so when you're involved in that, then you can say, no, I can always do that mitzvah later because there's gonna be an end to
or even if there's not. I'm still, we saw mitzvahs that like say Shema. I'm involved in Nicham Aveilim. Even though it's the Rabbanan, calls me out that I'm involved in that mitzvah, I might be pushing off the Shema to the point where Shema won't be said by me today. Or if I'm writing tefillin and I'm doing a hechsher mitzvah, I'm writing tefillin and I have to do it right now during Zman Tefil, during Zman Kriya Shema, I can be involved to the extent that I push off the Chiyuv of Shema and Shmona Esrei, and I won't have it anymore. It's true, the mitzvah has an end. But I think we have to take it to the next level. Therefore what?
Well, I mean, we can say that Talmud Torah is only, I mean, I guess what we had...
Yeah, I'm trying to elicit that from...
From everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I was wondering if I was supposed to say...
No, it's
endless, it's not really osik.
Huh? Yeah?
Well, if it's endless, then it's not osik.
What do you mean? Why don't you say a guy who's always osik? Say he's always busy. Say he's always busy and learning. When am I an osik, by the way? I'm an osek when I'm doing what? When I'm doing that which I'm required to do halachically. Right? I'm doing
a
mitzvah.
Osek has a start and a stop.
Okay.
So if it has a start and a stop, you can't say...
You can't define a guy as being forever busy.
Yeah, there's no start and no stop. It's got to be clear that at this point in time, he's not able to do that.
You can't say in
his lifetime. That's not a point.
Right, I think that's what Zach is saying. I think Zach is saying that if that were the case, a guy would be always defined as... Don't bother me now. I'm thinking about
something. So the reason
something.
The rule doesn't work is because it's not osik.
Okay.
It's not, yeah.
So that, okay, that's one, I think it might be one approach.
It's
saying because learning is not really mugbal to a specific time, then I can never really be defined as osek. You want to say osek means something that I that it has to lend itself to not to not being involved. And in order to say I'm involved in something, I have to, it has to be a time when I'm not involved in it. And learning it always demands my involvement, so therefore I can't call it osek. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's what Zach was trying to
say. It still doesn't. It just still doesn't explain the contradiction.
Yeah.
Right. It still doesn't explain the contradiction. It's an approach, but it doesn't account for the contradiction. No, it's not a takeo, but I'm trying to hear it. I want to make sure everyone's been heard. No? Any other thoughts? Why does the Rambam say? Forget about Ishus for a second. Why does the Rambam say in the case of learning that it depends whether the mitzvah can be done by someone else or not? If you want to tell me that mitzvahs take priority, then tell me I have to do any mitzvah that comes to me. I have to do it. Stop my learning. If the learning takes priority, then who cares if the mitzvah can be done by someone else or not? So let's just account for that, and then maybe work from there.
So
do you understand the question?
Yeah.
Okay. Does everyone understand the question?
Yeah.
Daniel. The Rambam says, in the context of learning, it depends. Right? It depends. Did we say anywhere else it depends? We didn't say anywhere else it depends. It depends. If you're learning and someone else can do the mitzvah, then keep learning. If you're learning and someone else can't do the mitzvah, then stop. What is the Rambam telling you when he says that?
That also the mitzvah still applies there. However, if it's something someone else can't do, That's what I'm saying.
Someone else can't do, then what?
Then it is a special circumstance that you have to do it, but there's a separate thing that says you have to do that mitzvah by Talmud Torah, but...
Why? Then you're just restating...
It's a lesson.
You're restating the fact, you know?
No, but
you're saying there's a special situation. What's the special situation?
If someone else can do it, then how is it can mitzvah other mitzvah actually applies? So you're actually applying the halacha of osing mitzvah patur.
Only in the case where someone else could do the mitzvah.
Yes.
Good. So I'm asking, what about the case where not?
So I don't know what that is.
Okay.
I'm saying there's probably some special.
I'm asking what that is. I'm asking what that is, and I think it's based on what a number of guys were saying already about the nature of learning being different. When I'm about to be kecholam and I have another mitzvah that comes along, why am I not chayav to do the other mitzvah? Why am I not chayav to do the other mitzvah? Why am I also to do the other mitzvah? And therefore what? And the other thing is what?
It's
the other thing, like the ritva says, the other thing is like a rishus.
It's not considered a mitzvah.
It's not a mitzvah for me.
But
it's not a mitzvah for me.
But when you're learning Torah,
yeah?
You're learning that it's another mitzvah. Like it's not...
Well, I don't know if you want to say that. Let's one step at a time. So in a normal case, before I'm learning, I say the other mitzvah that comes along, for me it's a dvar rishus. Why? Because halacha says now you're supposed to be doing this activity, so therefore you're osik. Right? It's a mitzvah. Bikur cholam is a mitzvah. I'm involved in a mitzvah. Halacha looks at me and says, oh, you're involved in a mitzvah, which is the right thing for you to be doing now. Therefore what? You're osik. You're busy. Another mitzvah? There's no such thing as other mitzvahs right now.
But by Talmud Torah, the other thing's not a dvar rishus.
Why not?
Because the nature of Torah is that the purpose is that you do the mitzvah.
Okay, that's one possibility. You want to say that it's because of the purpose. How about in terms of the competition for the time?
For the time, Torah you can do whenever, however. It's not like you actually have to do it at this moment in time.
Yeah, but you can have Bikur Cholam any time. Say that about any mitzvah.
Maybe like a more passive versus active approach.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Or it's kind of more of a passive activity. When you have time, you're just doing that.
Okay.
And you're like doing Bikur Cholam. It's a more active approach. You're not just passively, it gets done, or when you're not doing things, like. You have to actively...
I mean, the guy's sick now. You have to go visit him now.
Right.
Right? But learning...
Learning, it's the kind of passive mitzvah that you always
have to do. What do you mean by passive? You don't mean you can just sit back and let it happen?
No, you can't sit back. You have to do stuff. It's a passively applied.
What does that mean?
No, it may mean that he can learn at any time.
The time? You want to say that? What do you mean, the time?
Time
is more flexible? Time is more flexible.
But we don't see in it anywhere in the rule that it's like whichever one is more timely.
Right.
You know, like
No, but what they're saying is that
if you have to take care of the needs of a sick person, that often cannot be put off.
Right, but like burying in sukkah, so theoretically you could sleep in the sukkah because that has a certain, you know, time, and then bury the guy. I'm just saying you don't see that it's really the timing.
What do you mean? I mean, that's really the way Osik Mitzvah works.
No.
Osik Mitzvah means what?
You don't see that one of them is more timely than the other.
Not timely. What do you mean by timely? I have two mitzvahs that are competing for my time.
Yeah.
Which one wins? The one that I'm involved with.
Right.
Because I'm defined as this time is a Bikur Cholam time. This time is a Nicham Avilam time. This time is whatever. I'm a Hochid Dvar Mitzvah time. Why? Because I'm involved in a mitzvah. And therefore, this time becomes defined by the mitzvah I'm involved with. The other mitzvah, that's it. It doesn't exist because I'm osik in this mitzvah. But maybe it only applies to mitzvahs that could do that. Mitzvahs that could occupy a specific slot in time.
But if they don't...
Rabbi Sinner, the other guys didn't have a chance to read.
No, I know. I'm going to do that together.
Oh, okay.
With them right now.
Okay.
So
if a guy's making tefillin, he stops to go visit the...
No, if the guy's making... Well, it depends. If the guy's making tefillin, which is not a mitzvah per se, it's a hechsher mitzvah. The guy's,
fine,
making
the guy's writing a Torah. Sorry, the guy's writing a Torah. So he's is that a mitzvah?
It is a mitzvah, yeah.
Okay, so to stop that and to... he would go and do Bikur Cholam because Bikur Cholam is more timely?
I'm not saying more timely. You're saying more timely...
Because it fits into a specific slot of time as opposed to writing a Torah, which is throughout a lifetime or whatever... So therefore, he stops doing one and goes to the other.
That's a good question. Writing a sefer.
I don't see why that would.
I didn't. Okay. I haven't said one way or the other. I'm saying you're asking. I'm doing a mitzvah now. I'm involved in a mitzvah. I'm involved in a mitzvah, which I'm involved in an activity which rises to the level of a mitzvah. Right. Assuming that ksiva sefer Torah right now, writing a sefer Torah would be. See, I don't know. Maybe we have to know more about the mitzvah
of
writing Sefer Torah.
That's why the definition...
I'm saying writing Sefer Torah, when did I fulfill the mitzvah? Am I writing... Am I... Every moment that I'm involved in it, am I involved in the mitzvah? When I finish it, am I involved in the mitzvah? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. But any mitzvah...
But anyway, I mean, even Sefer Torah, though, after a certain amount of time, it says, if you're going to miss another mitzvah or something, Sefer Torah isn't a mitzvah, writing Sefer Torah isn't a mitzvah that you can just skip all of the mitzvahs during
the... No, we saw writing tefillin. I don't know, I had that case. The guy's writing tefillin. If it's not for harvacha, if it's for the purpose of providing the mitzvah...
You can stop.
But you're not required to. You're not in a case where you're doing it for someone else who needs the other thing, who needs the mitzvah, needs the tefillin, you're not required to stop.
You're not required to stop for that case, but I'm saying if you're writing a Sefer Torah just so you can fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah,
right.
Then it, since you can stop, you might have to stop so you can fulfill the other mitzvahs.
He's osek though. I don't understand. He's involved in that mitzvah though.
He's involved in the mitzvah when? You can stop
when he's writing it. He's in the middle of writing. He's literally writing a letter, and he can stop.
So now it's like the Ran. Now you want to say it's like the Ran. Ran says if you could do both of them, and it's not tircha to do the other one, then you do the other one.
However, you're saying while you're involved in the mitzvah,
no, that's the Ran. That's the Ran's position.
I'm saying yes while you're involved in the mitzvah. However, there are times when you can stop, and that's considered you're not in the mitzvah. Like when you finish a pasuk.
Okay, let's not get too far afield. I mean, it could be the writing statement. We have to think more about that specific mitzvah. But I know not everyone got a chance to look at this, but I think it's we're at the point already where it's appropriate to mention that Rav Elchanan Wasserman and the Stipler, I should say, both had a similar approach when it came to understanding the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and they were both preceded by the Gra. The Gra at the beginning of Peah. The mission that we say all the time, Eil Dvarim Shein Lahem Shiur. So on that Mishnah, the Gra has a very similar approach. If you see the commentary to the Gra, the commentary of the Gra to the Mishnayos, you'll see that he has a similar approach in terms of understanding the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And I'll just read Rav Elchanan's words a little bit, and you'll see with this approach, he answers up the steer in the Rambam, and I think this is, we're really at this point already. I think on your own, you essentially got to this point, you just need that last step. But it answers up that question, and it answers up a general question about the nature of Talmud Torah. So he writes the following. He asked the Kasha about the two Rambams. he makes Chaim's observation that the Rambam is not talking about totally obliterating the mitzvah of marriage. He's not talking about being mevatel it. He's just talking about pushing it off a little bit. And he says the mitzvah that you could push off a little bit, it's similar to a mitzvah that can be done by someone else. Right? A mitzvah that can be done by someone else, I'm not destroying it. It's being done. The mitzvah is still being done. I'm not doing it, but the mitzvah is getting done. The mitzvah that I'm pushing off, I'm not being mevatel it. I'm just pushing it off. Getting married. So what? So now it says like this. When the Rambam says, Osik b'mitzvah, Patim in a mitzvah, and Kol Shekein b'Talmud Torah, Nir dahad etzarech levatal mitamar Torah b'shul kiyam mitzvah, Ein hatam mishem de mitzvah talmud Torah, nidcheis v'nei kiyam mitzvah. When I'm doing a mitzvah, when I'm learning and I have to stop to do a mitzvah, it's not that I have to stop my learning to do the mitzvah. It's not that I have to, it's not that I'm required to stop my learning to do the mitzvah. What else could it be? It's that I must do the mitzvah. Right? I have two things speaking to me right now. I have Talmud Torah and I have mitzvah. I'm involved with Talmud Torah now. So if you tell me that I have to stop because I have to do that mitzvah, right, and I have to stop my learning to do the mitzvah, what am I saying? I'm saying this is entirely different than any other situation.
But it is
Osik b'mitzvah. What he wants to say is that right now, I'm not required to learn. Right now, there exists no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I'm not required to be involved in Talmud Torah right now. When I'm presented with a mitzvah, what's my obligation? And again, philosophically, it could be for the reasons that we mentioned, that it doesn't make sense to say that a guy should not do the mitzvahs and he should learn instead. But as far, halachically speaking, right, structurally speaking, I'm not required to be learning right now. I'm not required to be learning right now. What's the learning? If I stay involved in learning, it's like a rishus. I must do the mitzvah. Why? Oh, because the nature of Talmud Torah is, as we've said, it has no specific time. It has no specific time. When's the right time to learn?
Whenever.
Whenever I'm not doing something else. Whenever I don't have to do something else. It sounds a little radical.
Something else
that's appropriate. Something else that demands my time. And he says, the chi of Talmud Torah ain't a chala al ha'odam el b'shah shu panu yubatel me'asiyas tzurachav. Right? The pasuk, actually the Gemara says this. The Gemara says, v'asafta deganecha in the Shema. You'll collect your dagan. Aval b'shah shu tzarech lasos melachto az ain't a mechli of klal b'Talmud Torah. V'asafta deganecha. The Torah says, go out and collect your grain. Right? Torah says, go collect your grain. How are you going to collect your grain if you're learning? Oh, so there must be some time when you're not required to be learning. When you need to go collect the grain. So again, it's Rav Chanan, the Stipler, the Grub before them, they all say the same idea. That Talmud Torah is a chiyuv when you're not supposed to be doing something else. What are those other things? Well, it could be melacha. It could be v'asafta deganecha. It could be other tzrochim, shat tzrochim adam, einu mechiv klal b'Talmud Torah. Avol b'mitzvah she'efshe l'kayim ma'ayvei achirim. And the mitzvah would obviously be no worse. If you tell me that when I have to work, I'm not obligated to learn, right? Or if I have to eat, I'm not obligated to learn right now. So it's not like I'm being mevatel learning to eat. I'm not being mevatel learning to go to work. I'm not required to learn right now. So if when a mitzvah comes along and it can't be done by someone else, what does halacha demand of my time right now? What does halacha demand of my time? The mitzvah, right?
So you're saying it's because that's not the zman to learn Torah.
That's right.
It's not the proper.
That's right. It's not that you no longer have two things competing. The nature of Talmud Torah is not like other mitzvahs. Other mitzvahs are on some level relegated to a time. But Talmud Torah is the anti-time mitzvah. There's no time. It's every time that you're not doing something else. So now if you have a mitzvah to do, this time is defined by halacha as the time to do that mitzvah. That's it. The learning is not a mitzvah now. The learning is not a mitzvah now. If the learning is not a mitzvah now, what must you do? Oh, you must do that mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is efshar la'asos ha'ebei acherim, on your schedule, does that mitzvah automatically appear? No. Why? Because your time is not spoken for by that mitzvah. Because someone else could do it. It's efshar la'asos ha'ebei acherim. Oh, in that case, says the Ram, keep learning. But once you have a mitzvah that you must do, or that can be done by no one else, just like if you had to eat, or if you had to sleep, or if you had to go to the bathroom, you would do those things, and you would be putter from learning at that moment, because that time is not relegated to learning. So too, a mitzvah that can't be done by anyone else, so that you must do, that's the time to do a mitzvah.
So then you would say by that fact, and Rambam says you can push off your marriage, is because you're going to be having... That you're going to be taking away the time that you would have to fill the mitzvah
Talmud Torah. Well, he says from the other side, he says, but the mitzvah that you could do with someone else, or if you could do it later, then Talmud Torah is not moved away from your schedule. It's Talmud Torah time. Oh, what do you mean you get married? Well, you can get married later. So why undo the Talmud Torah for mitzvah getting married? You know, you're not being mavat of the mitzvah, you're just pushing off the mitzvah. I just mentioned, by the way, that this is a big issue when it comes to lighting Hanukkah candles during night Seder, okay? So a big question, whether or not a person should stop learning or go home early from learning to light candles and come back, even though it's going to shtar his learning. So maybe we'll talk about this Hanukkah time, but this very issue comes into play.
Oh, because it's
Mitzvah Darabonah. Not because it's Mitzvah Darabonah. Do I say that maybe, I could say, well, it's like marriage. I'm not knocking off the mitzvah entirely. I'm just pushing it off. In the same way that I could be his acher, says the Rambam, be less acher the mitzvah for the purpose of learning, so maybe it's not inappropriate for me to be miss acher the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. I'm just throwing that out for your consideration. We could discuss that another time. But what Rav Elchanan is saying, and again, as I'm just mentioning outside, that the stipler and the grow all have the same idea, that you have to really understand the nature of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Once you understand the nature of the chiyuv of Talmud Torah, insofar as it demands a person's time, now you can understand how it works in the context of Osek Mitzvah Patam and Mitzvah. Osek Mitzvah Patam Mitzvah is when you have one time frame, one time slot, competing for two mitzvahs. Well, I'm only Osek in one mitzvah. So that's the mitzvah that's on my schedule. That's the mitzvah I have to do. The other mitzvah is Darashus. Oh, you're learning? It's nice to be learning, but learning is not something that is required by this time slot. What's required? Eating, maybe, sleeping, maybe, depends. What else do you have to do? Nothing? Then it's learning.
Why can't you do both?
What do you mean, let's say you're doing nothing else?
No, you're visiting a sick.
Yeah, you should be invited. You should always be, it's proper always
then
to be.
You say, I have to go do Shema.
I'm involved in a mitzvah.
Yeah, so instead of spending an hour there, spend a half hour.
Oh, okay. That's a different question. What's my obligation in terms of the particular mitzvah? Yeah, it could be. Well, let's say the cholah needs you right now. The cholah, really, to be mevakeh cholah, you're supposed to go and help the cholah. So let's say the cholah needs your help right now. You're doing a service for the cholah.
Well, let's say he's not.
It could be then you're already yotzei the mitzvah, and it could be that you're right. Then you should do it. That's like the run. There's no tercha, you're not involved, whatever the case is. You got to be osik, whatever the asik is. If you're not osik, then there's nothing to talk about. Nechanami. Right, a person can't abuse these rules. I'm trying to explain how the rules work when they apply. In some cases, you're right. In some cases, a person doesn't have a patur. Guy can't say, I'm going to sit down and write tefillin now. Because someone must need them. Right, so I'll be part of Shema and tefillah.
So, if you're eating, and you haven't benched yet, and you're doing divrei Torah or whatever, you should wait till the last minute before you bench?
Why are you saying that?
Because he's saying that if you're learning and you can push the thing off, you should basically push it off for as long as possible.
No, you could push it off. Doesn't mean you have a chiv to push it off. Depends. This guy wanted to push it off because he wanted to learn. You're pushing off the benching.
So you could push it off to the last minute that you're halachically allowed to bench? I'm saying if you're learning and you enjoyed that learning.
I guess you could do that, but you have to be careful. The mitzvah that's going to be pushed off beyond the time, not allowed to, you have to be careful. You're not really supposed to do that. Right? Like things that could be done all night, Chazal said do it by Chatzos. Because they were worried if a guy would do it all night, he would miss out. He would forget and get caught up. One second, but we still have one other thing to answer now. How does this explain the stira in the Rambam? Can we use that to explain the stira in the Rambam? I mean, I think we said it, but we just didn't really fully express it.
It's not a stira because...
Yeah, because why not?
not really ruled by marriage, he's just pushing off the mitzvah. And when it says that he has to go do the other mitzvah, that means Talmud Torah is not a mitzvah over there because
no one else could do it. So what he's trying to say is that for the Rambam, someone else could do it, or you could do it later, right? Is really the same thing. So when that exists, your time is not spoken for by another mitzvah. When your time is not spoken for another mitzvah, then yeah, of course, you should stay involved in the mitzvah. And you should stay involved in the learning. And that's why he says Kol Shekein. Right, what do you mean Kol Shekein? Kol Shekein would sound like, of course, learning, but it doesn't seem like, of course, learning, because learning seems to be the weakest of all these mitzvahs, because learning is the first thing that takes a hit. So he says, no. The Kol Shekein, what the Rambam means by Kol Shekein is, the mitzvahs Talmud Torah, b'shah shehu mechuyav ba, ein nidches m'shem mitzvah. When you're mechuyav to be learning, then learning is not pushed off for anything. Dehi chamur mikol mitzvahs. Therefore, muchach midivei Rambam, that the pushing off mitzvah pruvu, ein ba m'shem bitol mitzvah, it's not bitol, it's ichor, it's delaying. And if that's the case, ein b'zeh mishum nishba levatal sa mitzvah, and then he goes back to his original question about a person who makes a shrua not to be mekayim a mitzvah, which is a little bit beyond our discussion. But I think it's a nice approach. Right? A lot of us were saying, well, Talmud Torah is different because of the constraints of the time that it presents. Right? Other mitzvahs have specific times. Talmud Torah has no time. So, I mean, one way of looking at Talmud Torah is to say every minute is the obligation of Talmud Torah. The other way of looking at it is saying, no, it's only those times that are not occupied by something else that a person is mechuyav to learn. And that's what they're saying. Rav Elchanan is saying, since that's the case, if you have a mitzvah that needs to be done now, there is no other mitzvah. It's not like there's another mitzvah of Talmud Torah now and you're butting up against it and you're violating Osek mitzvah, Patam and mitzvah. No! That's only true when the other mitzvah can be done by someone else. Or it's a type of mitzvah which you, as Chaim said, you could push off a little bit. Then you say, Kol Shekein. Of course you should do the learning. Because the learning is now. You don't push off learning for something else. If the learning is supposed to be done now, when is learning supposed to be done now? Learning is supposed to be done now when the mitzvah that you're discussing is one that can be done by someone else or can be delayed by you. Yes? No? I thought there'd be a little more excitement about this.
Good.
Thanks, Sam. Zach, you here?
Yes.
You satisfied with this?
Yeah.
I think this is essentially what you were saying. It's just a step beyond, putting it more, halachic context.
Yeah.
You were saying, guy can't be expected to ever do mitzvahs if you tell him he has to learn all the time. Right? You'll always say he's always potter. That's essentially what we're saying in terms of the halachic structure of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as compared or as contrasted to other mitzvahs. Okay, so I don't want anyone to think this is the end of Osek Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah. There's a lot more here, but in the interest of expedience, we're going to start moving on a little bit. So Monday, we know that we're going to turn our attention to the next piece of the sugi, which is still germane to Osek Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah. But we're going to start moving forward. If we have time at some point when I think it's appropriate, I'll try to get into the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Kibud Av V'Aim and Osek Mitzvah Patur Mitzvah, especially for guys that have interaction with their parents. It's something that's very practical. It's also interesting conceptually because it might be something of an exception.
But
okay.
You can be Kibud Av V'Aim your entire life.
Person could be, what do you mean, Kiyum?
Fulfill the
kiyum
of the mitzvah, keep it
all
the aim, their
entire life.
Well, a person can be mechuyav in the mitzvah his whole life. They can't be mechuyav
in the mitzvah their entire life. No, not mechuyav. But the question is, if you're involved in something else, and now keep it all the aim comes along.
Let's see, what I mean, your parents want you to come home.
Exactly. You're in yeshiva, your parents call you and say, I really want to go out now. I need you to come take me for a walk.
So, in that case, case of why they need to go for a walk or whatever, as well as...
Not necessarily. Let's say they want to go out for a walk then.
So if they want to go out for a nice walk just because they want to go out for a walk, and I don't think you have to, because even if your parents tell you, if you're allowed to, go learn at a yeshiva...
That's an exception. That's an exception.
They don't want
to... That's an exception. Learning and marriage are two exceptions to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Parents say, I don't want you to marry that girl because I don't think she's right for you. You could say, listen, I respectfully disagree. And it's not a breach of Kivud Av Aim to marry that girl. That's one exception. And learning. Parents say, I want you to go to my alma mater. I want you to learn over there. And you say, listen, I think I can learn better in this place. And that's also an exception to the question is, what about... we could talk about it. I mean, that's a whole separate thing. Yeah. The question is, what about benign things? Your parents ask you to clean up your room. Right? Is that an issue of Kivud Av Aim? Do you have to listen to them? Or if you don't listen to them, as a violation of Kivud Av Aim? That's a question in Poskim. Is Kivud Av Aim only those things that the Talmud lists? Feeding them, giving them to drink, clothing them, escorting them. Those things the Gemara specifically gives as an example. So maybe it's only those things. Others say no. It's anything that the parent wants, which is going to give them some type of psychological benefit. Those things are included in Kivud Av Aim. Obviously, that type of approach is a very slippery slope and, you know, could become quite onerous for children. So we'll have to, maybe at some other point we'll discuss that.
Yeah. And then
okay?